They stopped outside a closed store. Ted knocked on the door once and waited. John was getting impatient when the door opened, revealing an older, white-haired man with sharp eyes and a sharper face. Ted stepped inside, nodding his head politely and motioned for John to follow. The storekeeper closed the door, then looked John up and down. His eyes seemed to miss nothing.
"A reasonably healthy young man," he said, finally.
"You want everything, right?"
"Yes, Giles."
Ted sounded oddly respectful.
"Outfit, knapsack, weapons and tools."
John frowned.
"I don't need..."
"Yes, you do," Ted said firmly. "Trust me, you'll need everything you get today, and you'll wish you had more."
He led the way into the next room. John followed, staring in awe. The right side of the room was crammed with weapons, everything from swords and shields to daggers and weird spinning discs with sharp edges. He'd never seen anything like them, not even during weapons training at school. The left side was piled high with clothes, from simple trousers and skirts to underwear, cloaks and things he didn't recognise.
"So,"
Giles said,
"what sort of outfit?"
"The basics," Ted said, before John could come up with an answer. "He can devise a style of his own later, when he knows what he wants."
"Of course,"
Giles said. He picked up a pair of trousers and thrust them at John, followed by a shirt and a simple jacket.
"Well, let's see how this goes."
John had never gone shopping for clothes until he'd won his scholarship, and he'd never liked it, even when he'd had enough money to pick and choose his own outfits. It struck him as absurdly wasteful to buy a new outfit for each social event, when one could wear the same clothes time and time again. Here, he found himself pushed from side to side, as Giles and Ted made him don outfit after outfit, then walk up and down in them to see how he moved. He wanted to argue, to snatch one off the shelves at random and insist it was his, but he suspected that would be pointless. Ted was determined to ensure he had something as close to perfect as humanly possible.
"You need something that'll let you move freely, at least at first," Ted told him, when he nerved himself to protest. "You're not ready for armour. Not yet. You'll need much more exercise first."
"I can use magic to protect myself," John protested. "Or to lighten the armour, and..."
"I saw a young sorcerer do that once,"
Ted told him bluntly.
"And his opponent twisted the spells around to crush him under his own weight. You do not want that to happen to you."
It took nearly an hour before Ted pronounced himself satisfied. John studied his appearance in the mirror and scowled. The outfit struck him as absurd, a strange cross between a field worker and a sailor. He walked up and down, checking the heavy belt and making sure he could move freely. Ted had made him perform all sorts of gyrations, as if he were on a dance floor, to be sure his clothes wouldn't get in the way. John was torn between gratitude that Ted was taking care of him and a suspicion the older man was also taking the piss.
"It'll do," Ted said. "Now, the weapons."
His eyes hardened just for a moment.
"These are deadly weapons. Fuck around near me and I'll beat the crap out of you. Fuck around with them near someone else and you might get that poor bastard killed. Understand?"
"Yes, sir," John said.
"Good."
Ted picked up a short sword and tested the blade carefully.
"Don't go for any of the fancy designs. They'll almost certainly break if you take them into a real fight. Go for something rough and crude, as long as it looks the part."
John glanced at him. "I thought the aristocrats all carried fancy blades."
"They do," Ted agreed.